3. If you have your Bibles, hope you'll open them up and follow along. We'll be actually going through some verses there in Psalm 103 this morning, and I hope they'll be a blessing. I always love it when God works things out for you. I sometimes perhaps maybe could or should mention the songs that we ought to be singing on the day that we're whatever based on what I'm preaching. I know some preachers probably that do that, but I tell you, we have a pretty good record of God taking care of the songs getting picked out to go along with the message. And truly today we opened up with the love of God, and that'll go right along with the message here today, as I want to speak to you on a subject that I believe is near and dear to my heart. A man by the name of Sam Storms writes the following simple, powerful sentence, and I want you to listen to what he says. He said, "I think we run from God instead of running to God, because we know that our own hearts all too well and His barely at all." Let me just read that again. He said, "I think we run from God rather than to Him, because we know our hearts all too well and His barely at all." Our Father, Lord, we do thank You today for the opportunity we have to open the Word of God. And Lord, I just take this time right now to plead for Your power, Your strength, and Your help as we open the Word of God in just a moment and begin to share it. Father, I pray that Your will be done here in each of our lives. I pray, Lord, that You'd help us all to leave here, Lord, in a better condition than we were when we came. And Lord, if there's needs here today that need to be taken care of, I pray that You would take care of them in our hearts. Help us to do what is right, and we'll thank You now for what You do and what You're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray, amen. I think what he's saying, and you stop and think about it, we run from God because we know ourselves all too well. And true to today, there's nobody knows you any better than you do except God. And I submit to you today that He truly knows everything about us. But I believe the reason we run from God is our lack of understanding of God. I remember the Apostle Paul saying that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. And he meant I might know Him. Now, was he talking about salvation? Absolutely not. Once you're saved, once you trust Christ, you're saved. Once you pray and ask Jesus to save you, He said He would, He will, He did. You can trust Him for that and know that He has done what He said He would do. However, there's more than just knowing about salvation and being saved. I believe God wants us to know Him just as He knows us in a real and personal and intimate way in order that we might fellowship with Him. So what we need today is the knowledge of God. And I think today another reason we run for God is because we feel guilty. I'm convinced today, I saw somebody again this week that I've been after for a long time to come to church. And they kind of seem to laugh it off and kind of still put me off and don't seem to be too much interested in coming. But I see when they do that, I sense a sense of guilt in their heart. I believe some people's afraid to come to the house of God. They're afraid to hear the Word of God because the Word of God will change your life. It'll help you to be what you need to be, to walk in a way which you ought to walk. And some people are afraid of that because they're not ready for that change and they do not want to become what God would have them to do. So we come to God, but we come very carefully. We pray, we read our Bible, we come to church. Literally, what we're doing is like looking in a mirror. I would venture to say, and I hope all of you did, it looks like you did. All of you this morning before you left looked in the mirror. Y'all look real nice today, all fixed up, your hair's done, everything good. That mirror revealed to you that you looked okay to come to church. When we come to church, this mirror reveals to us that God can work in our life and help us be what we need to be, and it'll show us where we're at. But you know the bad part about it is the mirror even shows the ugly. We get up in the morning, our hair's all this way, and we had ladies don't have no makeup on and whatever. You're going to see exactly what you are. And we need to come to the point in our lives when we open the Word of God that we allow God to show us exactly who we are that we might do it. Sometime when we see ourselves, we're afraid to come to God because we see our failures. I want you to know today that everybody fails from time to time. We feel like we should be more mature in the faith. I'd venture to say nobody here today feels like they have as much faith as they ought to have. I don't think anybody here today would say that I pray more than I need to pray. I think all of us sense a lack of accomplishment in our life as far as a child of God. Is our faith what it needs to be? Are we disappointed with ourselves? Maybe we don't want to come before God. I remember as a young boy, I used to get in trouble with my mom and dad. And I tell you what, listen, my daddy, all he had to say, we go to church and I get in trouble, you wait till you get home. I knew there was going to be some trouble when we got home. My daddy had a wonderful memory. He could remember it even when I'd forget it. But I knew when I got home, he was going to remember what had taken place. And you know, sometimes I think we're afraid to come to God because we're ashamed. And we ought to be. If we're not serving God and being faithful to Him, we ought to be ashamed. But listen today, I want you to see, when you see God for who He is, sometimes it causes us to be afraid of Him. I want to share with you this morning some scripture, let you know that we don't have to be scared of God. We should fear the Lord, but we should never be afraid of Him. What's the difference? When we fear God, we reverence Him. We place Him in the place that He is. We exalt Him for who He is, and we worship Him because of what He did for us in giving us eternal life. But when we're afraid of someone, we cower, we come scared. We're scared we'll get a beating, or we're scared we'll get punished. Not to say today the Lord does not punish, because truly He does. However, today we come to the Lord, we ought to not come scared of that. We ought to understand today that our God loves us more than any father could ever love his child. He loves us more than any mother could ever love her child. And friend, today we need to trust and love our mothers and dads, and we're fixing to have Mother's Day coming up next week. But I'm telling you today, we don't have to be afraid of God. What we need to do is we need to understand God. We need to understand His holiness. We need to understand His glory. We need to understand His power. And we must understand that He will chasten His people when we fall into sin and do things that's contrary to the Word of God. When we're afraid of God, it means that we see Him as angry, vengeful, who delights in punishing people. And that's just not who God is. Friend, God is not vengeful. God is not one that looks down on us or looks forward to chastening us or giving us whatever it is. But if are afraid of God, we will not come to Him, because we look at Him as someone that will always judge us. In this specific psalm, Psalm 103, and I got to get moving. I got a lot of points this morning, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time on each one. I think the introduction is important. But in this specific passage, like no other passage in the Bible, I believe what we find is the heart of God. The heart of God. Friend, I want you today, when you leave here, if you didn't already know, I want you to have a better sense of the heart of God. And understand, God is not some big, mean man that wants to see you punished or see you suffer. But God is God that loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you in ways that you know not. In this psalm, God reveals His heart. He tells us what He thinks about us, and He tells us who He is. He teaches us more about what we need to know about Him. It's insight into God's heart. In other words, it's a glimpse of what God can do. And our God, listen to me, is a loving, compassionate, forgiving, faithful, full of grace, and full of mercy kind of God. And He loves you this morning more than you'll ever know. Number one, and I'm going to give them to you quickly. You might want to mark these in your Bible, because the outline goes right in order, beginning in verse number 6. The Bible said, first of all, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. This first point, God helps the needy. And I'm going to tell you today, at times we're often needy, but He refers to those who are oppressed. The word oppressed means those who are mistreated, defrauded, or tormented, or crushed under the feet of others. In the psalmist's day, I believe what he was referring to is mainly people that were oppressed, like widows and orphans and maybe poor people, or people that had physical problems that were living in Israel and they were very poor. It reminds us of the power that we should think twice about taking advantage over people that we're over or around us. We ought never to seek to oppress other people, because God is not a God of oppression, and God does not do that. God moves to balance the scales of life, and that's exactly what He's telling us. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. This morning, I don't know where you're at, and I don't know what you might be going through. Oppression could mean anything. It could be physical pain. It could be problems that you experienced along the way. It could be financial. It could be many other things that I could name this morning. But I want you to know something. God is a righteous God. God is a God of judgment. And things will always work out in the end. And friend, for the child of God, we know it is because He's promised us a place in heaven where we're going to spend eternity with Him for the rest of our lives. And He'll never, never cast us off, or He'll never leave us nor walk away from us. But God helps the needy, okay? And God is going to give us exactly what we need, and He's going to give to us the things that we need in our life if we'll... But first, put our faith and trust in Him. Know that He's able. God helps the needy. And friend, today you may feel down and out. You may feel discouraged. You may be going through some difficulty in your life that nobody knows anything about. But friend, I want you to know God is our helper. He's a very help in the time of trouble. And today He will meet our needs. He'll give us exactly what we need if we'll put our faith and trust in Him and depend upon Him for guidance and direction in our life. The second thing I want you to notice, verse 7 and 8, God loves the guilty. Now that sounds strange. Does God love for us to sin? Absolutely not. But does God love the guilty? He sure does. He loves everybody. And I believe that's emphasized in the Word of God. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He said, He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous. Now, friend, if you've studied the Old Testament very much, you'll know that the people of Israel tried the patience of God. But God is all-loving and He has no problem with patience. In fact, it's because of His patience that He's met our every need in spite of who we are. There's not a single person here today that I believe could stand and say that I've lived for the Lord ever since I got saved. I've done everything exactly like I needed to do. I've always pleased the Lord. I wish I could say that, but I can't. But I'm going to tell you, there was times that it appeared. I don't want to say that I ever stopped loving God. I don't believe I ever stopped loving God. I think I turned away from God for a period of time. I think I did some things that I'm not proud of, and I wish I could have those times back. But I can tell you, there was times that it did not appear as if I loved God. But there was never a time when it did not appear, or it did appear, that God loved me. Friend, today it makes no difference who you are, what the circumstances are, where you stand as far as your relationship with God. He still loves you like He did the day He died on Calvary's cross for our sin in order that we might have eternal life. I think today as we understand it, we must realize today that God loves the guilty. The children of Israel, what they do time and time again, they murmured and complained. They went against the man of God. They refused to follow. They grumbled and mumbled and carried on. But yet God, in His love, continued to love them. Now, they were punished. They were not allowed to go into the promised land because of their disobedience. But God continued to bless them and to meet the needs that they have. I think today how God loves the guilty. He loves you in spite of who you are. Thirdly, God graces the wicked. Look at verse 9 and 10. He said, He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And there ought to be a bunch of amens right there. Do you hear what He said? He said, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. But there's going to come a time when God is not gonna continue to chide. What's the word chide? Chide means to go after, to try to help, to bring about, or to bring in into our life. And yet, you know, chide means that He's working in a way trying to get our attention to bring us back to the place that we need to be. But yeah, there's gonna come a day when God's gonna say enough. You know, I sure am glad that there was a time when God spoke to my heart and got me back. God spoke to my heart a number of times prior. But thank God I finally came to my senses and I listened to Him. And I'm grateful that final time did not come when He quit chiding with me. You know, talking about God's love, I was reading the other day, there's some wicked people in this world. I'm not even going to begin to give you illustrations, but there's all kinds. People do crazy things these days. I tell you, it's not safe hardly anywhere, anything. People do crazy things. But you know what? Even God loves those wicked people. You said, how could he? I was reading about a guy named Richard Dawkins, I believe is his name, and another guy named Hitchens, I believe, and they're atheists. And they've done everything in their power to turn people against God. They've mocked God. They've made fun of God. They've said all kinds of things about God. But yet, you know something? God still loves them. You say, well, how do you know he loves them? I can tell you because he said he loved the world, but I can tell you how he loves them because he still gives them gifts. You said, what do you mean? He still blesses them. In fact, the first part of 103 says, he daily loadeth us with benefits, and even the wicked have the benefits of God upon their life. You said, what are you talking about? Every morning when they get up, they breathe the same air that you and I do, a gift from God. They enjoy the beautiful things that we have around about us, just like you and I do. They eat just as we do. And so again, you can say what you will, but what it is, they don't understand. They don't understand, obviously, that it's coming from God. One day they will. But I'm simply saying to you today, God graces the wicked every day that we live. He blesses them even when they don't deserve to be blessed, as far as we can see. But yet God continues to bless them and meet the needs. I'm so glad today that God didn't give us what we needed. I'm glad that today God has blessed us in more ways than we could ever think of, but surely today he's not give us what we deserve. If we got what we deserved, I'm coming back. If we get what we deserved, we could maybe see God work in a way that would be pleasing to him. Anyway, I'm forgetting that. But anyway, let me get back to the message. The Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger, plenty of mercy. He will not chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. And I'm glad today he has not dealt with our sins accordingly. God forgives the sinful. I tell you today, I'm not worthy, but he is. Notice what he said in verse 11 and 12. Oh, and by the way, the sinful is not just the lost. We still can sin. The Bible said, him to know it, do good, doeth not to him it is sin. He said, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. I'm thankful today that God has blessed us in more ways than we could ever imagine or ever think of. And I'm thankful today that God forgives us. And all we have to do is come before him and pray that God would work in through our lives and give us exactly what we need. And help us along the way as we serve him and obedient to him. But yet today, I'm grateful today that God forgives us in our life. He forgives us of the sins, the things we commit, the things we do. Fifthly, look at verse 13. God understands the weak. I like this. Like as the Father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. How important it is today in our life for us to understand and see that and to realize today that as we serve the Lord and are faithful to him, as we're doing what he would have us to do, that we could understand that God is willing to help the weak. Many times we're weak in many ways. We're weak in the things we do, but God's there to meet our needs. And you know, there's nothing like a, I say this, there's nothing like a mother's love. But I'm going to tell you, a good father will love his children as much as he ought to love them, and trying to raise them up, bring them about in things and ways that would be pleasing to God. Sometimes we're weak. Sometimes we're weak in our faith. But you know, God understands that. We're human. He created us. He made us who we are. And by the way, who we are is who we are. And we ought to understand today that in doing that today, that we can serve God and be faithful to him in everything that we do as we walk with him, as we talk with him on a daily basis. Understanding today that God understands the weak. He knows every need we have, every path we take, everything we say, everything we do. And yet he understands when we fail. That's why he made it this way. He said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I'm so glad today, for when I am weak, I am made strong. I'm thankful today for the blessings of God upon my life and what he's able to do and what he will do. And I pray that God would help me as I serve him and as I'm obedient to him, that he'd understand that I'm weak and feeble and I need his help. I need his strength. And just as the Father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Now again, I think of the word fear, and I think about the fact of fear. I refer to the fact of fear reverencing God. Not afraid of God, not afraid to come to God. We should not be afraid to come to God. I've often mentioned that my dad, I was always afraid of my dad. I mean, and I had reason to be, because he could punish me, of course, and he did. But I tell you, my dad loved me. My daddy would oftentimes whip me, and then he would sit down with me and try to explain to me why he had to do what he did. And I tell you, sometimes it was not pleasant. But I'm grateful that my dad did whip me and put me in the place that I needed to be in order that I might be faithful in serving God and being faithful to obeying him and doing what he would have me to do. And I'm grateful to the Lord's blessings upon my life as I served him. And I pray today that God, we would see God's help and God's understanding. Understand who God is. Listen, he cares about us today. He cares about who we are. He cares about every need we have, no matter who we are. And I think sometimes we get to the point to think that God rules over us in a way that is unpleasing or displeasing to him. Friend, God loves and understands the weak. God knows where you're at this morning. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're experiencing. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. You may not. I may not. In fact, we don't. But God knows and he understands. But you know, that's where we have to just bring our burdens to the Lord. And what did he say? Leave them there. Understanding that God is able to do what he needs to do, that we might be what we need to be. And even in our weakness, we are made strong. Even in our disappointments, we are at a point to where he'll strengthen us and guide and direct us. And then look at verses 14 through 16. He said, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. You know, God understands that we're frail. We came from the dust of the earth. When God took Adam, he took the dust of the earth and he breathed into him the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. And in doing so, he came about as the earth, but then one day we're going to die. You know, it's wonderful, isn't it? So we've had some beautiful days lately. Well, the flowers are blooming, the springtime weather, people's getting into it and enjoying all the blessings and the beauty of God. We rode around yesterday, was riding around town, just saw the rose beds and the rose bushes and all the flowers blooming and the beautifulness of it. And that's a wonderful thing. But you know, before too long, those petals will fall from that flower and those leaves will wither up and die, and then it'll be ugly and dark again. But he kind of reminds us in this passage of Scripture that one day we're just like the grass of the field. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth. He said, but the word of my God shall stand forever. I think how it's so important God remembers the frail. I read an illustration of a young boy that was about to have surgery. They had the best doctor you could have, and he was well known, and he was well paid, and I mean, he was just the top of the line doctor. He came to operate on the little boy, and he was getting ready for the surgery, and the little boy was scared. He began to cry, and his dad and mom was doing everything they could to comfort him and to help him and to strengthen him, to get him ready for the surgery. When the doctor came in, saw him crying, he said, "Son, what's going on?" And he said, "I'm just, you know, I'm nervous. I just don't know about this." The doctor began to cut up with him a little bit, and then he said, "Son," he said, "get up off that bed right there." And he said, "Get on my back. You want to ride my back down to the operating room?" And the little boy, of course, excitedly got up and got on his back. And as he went down the hall, he looked back, smiling and waving, because here was a man of great power and great strength that took time to care about a little boy that was crying and had his needs met. I know some doctors wouldn't have cared at all. Probably wouldn't have went put the way out at all to try to help or do anything about it. But yet, here was a doctor that was willing to do what he had to do to try to get the boys to understand that he understood and that everything was going to be all right. And I'm grateful today for God's loving care. He cares about the frail. A little boy was in London. Billy Graham told this story, actually. A policeman was in London, and he was out on his night beat, and he was taking his flashlight, and he was shining along when he heard some whimpering and crying in the background. He went over to where it was, and it was a little boy. He was crying, and the little boy said, "Sir, I'm lost." He said, "Could you please help me get home?" The policeman began to talk to him, and they began to walk, and they went down one street, they went down another street, and they went. He named streets. The little boy said, "No, that don't mean anything. I don't recognize that. I don't think about it." When all of a sudden they came to a big, large white church, had a big, huge cross on the top of it. The policeman looked up and he said, "Son, you see that building right there?" He said, "Do you live anywhere near that?" And the little boy saw it, and a big smile come across his face, and he says, "Sir, if you can get me to the cross, I can find my way home. And I want you to know today, if I can get you to the cross, you can find your way home. No matter what the circumstances are, no matter how needy you are, no matter how guilty you are, no matter how wicked you are." And again, I'm not saying all these things are right. I'm not saying God winks at that, because God doesn't wink at that. God is going to hold us accountable for our sin. But what I am saying is when we do sin, we have an advocate with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're able to come to Him because He cares about you. The Bible said, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." And I'm so glad today that we come in our times of need and our frailty, understanding today that we are weak, but He is strong, and He gives us everything we need. And one day in this life, listen, we only live this life one time, and I can vouch for you, life comes and goes quickly. I wonder sometimes how I got to the place that I'm at so fast. But I also realize that I'm going to get to the place I'm going probably even faster, because our days are swift. And the fact is, the Bible said, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. I'm just simply saying to you today, there's some of you that are hurting. You're hurting. I don't know what the reason might be. I know we've got some physical, we have so many people with physical needs. We ought to get our prayer list out and hold it up every day and pray for these people like we've never prayed before. We need to do that. I tell you today, we do. But I tell you today, we may have other problems. We may be going through circumstances that is beyond our control. There's things happening that we don't know, and we can't fix ourselves. And friend, if you're a child of God, you don't need to fix them yourself. God is the one that's able to do it. But I want you to know He loves you. He cares about you. He died for you. And then look at this. He immortalizes the mortal in verse 17 through 18. "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him." In other words, when we get saved, born again by the Spirit of God, He said His mercy is everlasting to everlasting. I'm thankful today for God's mercy. "They fear Him in His righteousness unto the children's children. To such keep His covenant, to those that remember His commandments, to do them." You know what? All He wants you to do is just do right. Was it Bob Jones Sr. that made the statement? He said, "Just do right." And friend, tonight or this morning, that's all God wants us to do, is just do right. If we'll do right, God will take care of every need that we have in our life. He'll answer every prayer. It may not be according to the way we want it answered. It may not be what we desire, But I tell you, it'll be God's will. And I'd rather be in God's will than to be anywhere else in the world today. But I'm telling you today, I fall far short of being everything I need to be. I fail the Lord so many times. But I tell you, He's never failed me. And I don't believe He ever will. I don't believe He will. I know He won't. Because He promised He'd never leave us nor forsake us. When we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He said, I will fear no evil. Why? Because Thou art with me. And I'm so grateful today that God walks with us in the times of the storm. And today God loves those that are needy. God loves those that are guilty. God even loves the wicked. Some people, I've told people before, I said, we go to YDC. We used to go to YDC. We haven't lately, but I said, you know, we go to YDC and we try to preach to those young men and try to help them out there. They said, man, why you want to go out there? They've done this, they've done that. Because Jesus loves them just as much as He loved me. And He loves you just as much as He loves them. And I think today of people in prison, when I hear of some horrific crimes, things that people do, sins people commit, crimes people commit, sometimes you say, man, is it worth, do we need to tell them about Jesus? Yes. Because you see, God doesn't hold a grudge. God does not allow anger to build up. God says, I forgive. I forgive. He's not going to continue to haunt us or try to harm us in any way. He's going to love us as long as we'll let Him love us. Brother Cham, in my conversations with him recently, he says this often. He said, thank you, church, for just loving me. And I said, Brother Cham, thank you for letting us love you. But how else could we be? For you see, the love of Jesus should be shown through us in everything we do and say. And if we don't love people that have needs, like Brother Cham and some of our shut-ins and some of our people on the sick list, if we don't love them, we're failing to be Christ-like, to be honest with you. Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has a heart for people, and He cares about who we are.